Today's gospel parable of the sower reminds me of trying to learn a foreign language, in my case, French. I needed it to help with my theological research, but I've never gotten very far with it. I made a good start, though. For me, in the imagery of our parable, the word didn't fall on the path to get instantly snatched away. I was interested in getting access to those French texts by René Girard, and I saw the point. Neither did the word fall on rocky ground for me, so that I gave up as soon as things started getting difficult. Because, of course, learning a new language does get more difficult when your rate of progress, which seems so great at the beginning, slows down markedly, and it can seem that you're making little progress. Indeed, I didn't even mind looking stupid in a conversation group, or at least I didn't mind all the time. I think that my experience was more like the third scenario in today's parable, the thorn-infested ground in which the word landed and took root, but was ultimately choked out. I never prioritised my French enough over the long term to get any good at it. I finished that research, lost my initial impetus, and thereafter, as far as sticking with it, I let myself get distracted. I never found myself in that fourth scenario, in that good soil. I did apply for a six-month fellowship in Paris, and I sadly missed out on it, but that would have been the opportunity to live among native speakers in France for a decent period, so that the roots of language could reach down deeply and spread out strongly. But it didn't happen. You could say that I never found my terroir. Thank you very much. But if I had, I'd not only be able to read better, but to follow the spoken word more readily and to speak up without having to think about everything I was trying to say and feeling on edge all the time. In that happy state, planted in the good soil of a native speaking community, I could have learned and taken part. And even if I'd never ended up being able to speak fluently, I'd still have done remarkably well. For me, there wouldn't have been a 100-fold yield, or probably even 60-fold. But I can imagine having ended up 30 times better than when I started. And of course, and this is a big point in today's parable, any farmer knows that even 30-fold is a very impressive yield. Friends, becoming a Christian and then growing in Christian faith, growing in Christian understanding, is like learning a new language, like learning to speak Christian, if you like. Now, of course, a lot of people can't be bothered with Christian faith. For them, the word has fallen on the path to be quickly snatched away. They understand things sufficient for their purposes. They're content. It's very likely that they're not troubled by ultimate questions of life. And they may be fashionably hostile to Christianity, like The Guardian and the ABC. Others are interested and they join up, but they don't last. For them, the word has fallen on rocky ground. There may be some enthusiasm for the new faith and involvement perhaps in a lively church, but then something goes wrong, life's cracks start to show maybe, and a too simple fundamentalism can't cope. Or else, being seen as a churchgoer makes them look uncool, and maybe it attracts some derision. Ask any young Christian who's out there dating. It's easier to go to church when lots of other people are doing it, but not in our post-Christian societies, when hardly anyone goes to church anymore, and you find yourself having to justify what is a minority position. This is a common enough challenge throughout today's West. As for falling among thorns, we've seen many Christians give in to distraction thanks to the COVID lockdowns when churches were closed. Lots of people found that there were other things they'd rather be doing on Sunday mornings, and their habit of semi-regular church going was allowed to lapse. Apart from which, there are plenty of demands on busy working parents and families that can make weekly church going quite demanding, time-wise and energy-wise, and I certainly do appreciate that. But if we're not careful, the competing agendas can throttle our faith altogether. In a few weeks, I have to preach at morning prayer for a national conference of Anglican school heads and chaplains here in Canberra. And as ever, I ask myself if our Anglican schools, with their paltry yield in terms of bringing people to Christ and to the Eucharist, are less about finding good soil and more about falling among thorns. As for the good soil, which I'm likening to a community of native language speakers, the Eucharistic community is where we can learn to speak Christian properly, because here we're at home with Jesus Christ in the midst of his people. Here in the Eucharistic life, where word and sacrament form a community of faith, we're in good soil and we bear fruit. We may not be saints bearing a hundredfold, but even my 30-fold is special, and I shouldn't get discouraged or let myself doubt it. Where would the world be without Christians bearing their witness, living the life of the Spirit rather than what St. Paul in our Romans reading today calls the life of the flesh, that is, the distracted, preoccupied, fundamentally self-serving life? This is the deathly life, widespread now as then, about which St. Paul warns us. And of course, the flesh means the turned inwards natural human state, not especially the realm of sexual sins. Though, of course, our sexuality is every bit as corruptible and potentially venal as any other aspect of our humanity, not serving the cause of life, but distracting and diverting us from it. I like the way our Old Testament readings today prepare us for this theme of rich harvests from God. Isaiah paints a very confident picture of Israel, the Lord's vineyard, delivered from its ruin and established in renewed prosperity, while our psalm represents a vision that the Greens would love to hear, with its fulfilled promise of plentiful water, good climate, and food security. As for the church and the Christian life, which is what we're talking about, which is the focus of today's gospel parable, the good news is that you and I are rooted in good soil, so that we can withstand the challenges and disappointments that make faith inconceivable or else unsustainable for so many. For us instead, even if we're not saints in the hundredfold register, God has planted us in good Eucharistic soil. It's from here, friends, with Christ at the heart of our life and our imaginations, that we yield the good fruit of his kingdom. And I dare say we yield more of it than we might think. The Lord be with you.